Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and I want to thank everybody for being here. My name is Sylvia Hubbard, and you are listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show. I am, of course, taking the place today of my usual host of Andrea Daniels, who couldn't do it today, but of course, me being an author and founder of Motown Writers Network, I'm going to jump right in, and I appreciate Andy, and I hope she got everything together. She was a little overwhelmed with stuff, but I want to jump in and take it over. We're going to come right back with our very special guest, Desiree Cooper, author of Know the Mother, and we're going to talk more with the author, so I want you to stay tuned.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Noble's on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.MichiganLiteraryNetwork.com.
Okay, we want to thank you for joining us. Like I said, this is the Michigan Literary Network radio show, and I am the host, Sylvia Hubbard. Today, usually we have the beautiful Andrea Daniel here, but schedules got bombarded and overwhelmed. And, of course, as an author and founder of Motown Writers Network, I wanted to jump in and help out as I could. A lot of you guys know I've been busy trying to get Motown Writers Network up and going again, and we want to thank everybody for their love and support throughout the years. Like I said, our guest today is Desiree Cooper, author of Know the Mother. Desiree is a well-known Detroit literary journalist who I am honored to have the pleasure of interviewing today. She's a 2015 Kresge Artist Fellow. Desiree Cooper is a former attorney, Pulitzer Prize nominated journalist, and Detroit community activist whose fiction drives unflinchingly into the intersection of racism and sexism. Using the compress medium of flash fiction, she explores intimate spaces to reveal what it means to be human. Her fiction and poetry have appeared in Kalalo, Detroit Noir, Best African American Fiction 2010 and Title Bastion Review, among other online and print publications. Her first collection of flash fiction, Know the Mother, was published by Wayne State University Press in March of 2016. Cooper was a founding board member of Cave Kingdom, a national residency for emerging black poets. She is currently at Kelbiblo, I said that wrong, I know I did, Desiree, Fellow, a national residency for African American fiction writers. While we're talking, I invite you to check out her website at DesireeCooper.com. So we want to say thank you, Desiree, for being here today. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to talk to you. I'm wondering why no one can have, like, normal names to their organizations, you know? So it forces you to have to trip over strange names. It's Kimbilio, and I think it means, like, home in Swahili, so whatever.
Wow.
And, but anyway, I'm happy to be here, and good, so good to talk to you.
Thank you. You know, I've always admired your work, and, I mean, your literary prose are just awesome. I mean, when you were writing for the paper, I was young, but I used to love just sitting there reading your articles over and over and over again. Like, even though I got the news from there, it's like, wow, this is good writing. And when you see good writing and you know good writing, it's just like, you, man, this is just awesome. So, I mean, to be able to interview you when she called and said, oh, so I can't do it today. And I was like, oh, I'll do it. Don't worry. I could not pass up a chance to have, because I had started reading your book actually 2 days ago, and it just fell into place. I was like, oh, my gosh, really? I get to interview her. So. Yes. So let's start at the beginning. What made Desiree want to pick up a pen and put words on paper?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, when you talk about the beginning, that is going way back. Because honestly,
right.
Sylvia, I never remember wanting to be anything else, like, since the age of about 4. I mean, I fell in love with books right away, and I always thought I wanted to write, you know, be a writer. I wanted to write novels. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people, you know, ask, oh, what's your most influential book or whatever? And I'm like, it's Charlotte's Web. You know, I mean, I'm talking like way back, that those stories mm-hmm. that you read during childhood are just what threw me into a whole nother world of imagination. So I ended up being a journalist and doing other things only because, you know, as many well-meaning parents are, they're like, yeah, but what's your real job going to be? You know, you're not going to make a living
right.
like that. And so I ended up doing, and I'm fortunate that I was able to do a whole lot of other things, and fortunate mm-hmm. that I've kind of lived long enough in my 56th year to finally realize okay. that goal that I've had since I was 4.
Awesome. And yeah, that is awesome. I do remember those days as well. Okay, mm-hmm. So with Detroit having like a huge transition, there's still, of course, this lack of literacy, illiteracy all around. And with single parents mm-hmm. becoming more and more busier, how would you give them advice on encouraging, you know, young mm-hmm. journalists, potential journalists, and even more readership into the household or into children's lives?
Well, you know, I think the thing about writing is that you got to do it to love it, and you've got to do it when, you know, it's just for you. And I do mm-hmm. think that for, you know, if I understood your question, it's, you know, for all those people who are out there trying to write and juggle family and juggle jobs and juggle real life,
uh-huh.
you know, you just got to write when you can. I mean, there are those people who say they got up, you know, for 20 years every day at 5 and they wrote. I was not that person. I mean, I had to sleep, you know. I really value that. You know, I value food and sleeping, and that just wasn't going to happen. But when I did have the time, that was my mm-hmm. entertainment. You know, that's what I did when I wanted to relax. And the other thing that kind of pulled me through is exactly what you're doing, and that is building a network. I mean, be with like people, so that even if you're not going to be accountable to yourself, I mean, this goes for losing weight, it goes for exercising regularly, whatever. When you have that network of people around you who are going to say, hey, did you write a paragraph, or can you read to me what you did yesterday, or do you have something ready for the meeting on Tuesday? You know, that's what gets the words on paper. I was never, for about 25 years, I was never without a writing group, never. So I think those are kind of the keys to making sure things get down, you know. And then the more you write, the better you are, the more you develop your voice, especially if you're not doing it by yourself. I know that you've come across writers who say, I have my novel, but I'm not going to show it to anybody. And I'm like, really? Really? That's, that is the stupidest thing you can do. You need to be reading from it. You need to be showing it to people. No one's going to steal your book, okay? Get the chapters out there and have people listen. Have people give you feedback. Understand how your words are landing out there. And then that one day when the door flies open, you will have a body of work to pull from. And so you got to be ready. One day that door will open and you got to be ready. So I just say, keep writing, you know, just keep doing it.
Okay. So let's go with the title, Know the Mother. Can you give us a little insight on how that title came to be for this book?
Yeah. Well, it feels to me that often people are caught up in a stereotype. You know, if I walk in the room, I'm a black woman, that means something. I'm a woman, that means something. I'm a certain age, that means something. I have gray hair, that means something. But I think that women in particular wear that expectation, whether or not they are a mother. And no matter how old they are, there's an expectation of, how are you going to fulfill that womanly promise to become a mother? And then once you stand, if you do step into that role, you become that entire role. And even this is what one thing I talk about is like racism, I can kind of get away from a little because in my family, I rarely feel like I'm a victim of racism, or in my circle of friends. It doesn't come up. But sexism hits you right at home. And your family will say sexist things to you, your partners, your children, your parents. And so it's such an insidious thing that's everywhere. And so this is a long way of saying that women get so subsumed that you don't really, they don't even know who they are. At some point, many women will say, I'm lost. I have no identity anymore. And so that's what these stories. So many women don't have hobbies. They don't know what makes them happy. You know, you'll say, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. I don't care. You know, so these stories really interrogate that aspect of what it means when one becomes a mother and how that invisibility really starts to eat, you know, eat at people in terms of their relationships. Know the mother means, so who really knows their mother? Who really knows their mother's true dreams or who they were before they became that? And at the same time, it's almost a command, like while you have time, know your mother, you know, like sit down and try to figure out who is this person. And the operative word is person, not mother. So it's kind of works in both ways.
Definitely. That's what I was saying. A lot of women haven't even heard their names in so long. You know, they're usually their nicknames because, like you said, they are in a circle of friends. And then they hear mommy, 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 mommy all day long. And it's not like they don't know, they don't love that word, but it's like sometimes.
Yeah, or like you go out in public and you go out in public and you hear someone say mommy and like 10 women turn around.
Like,
right. That's all of our names. You're calling all of us, you know. So,
yeah, because there's no individuality at some times. So, oh, that's definitely, that's why I was like, when I was reading it, I was like, wow, this is a point. And I am blessed that I do have time to know my mother, that I can get in touch with her and I can call her and ask her, just like, what did you do in this situation? And, you know, we don't appreciate the woman behind the person who raised us. We don't get into that. And you're right. That's, wow, that was powerful. I like that. I really do. That is exceptional. Now, for women who read this, or just for anyone who picks it up and walks away from it, especially for men who read it, what do you hope, you know, other than, you know, getting to know the woman that raised them, what do you hope they learn from women or about women? Especially men or children who have not experienced, you know, this heart-wrenching where, you know, this woman who is so powerful in their lives, what do you hope they walk away with knowing?
Well, I think, you know, so we carry that role in a constellation of relationships, of family. So we have daughters and sons, we have partners in life, we have parents. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not just a mother. I'm also a grandmother. I'm also a daughter. I'm also a sister. And so all of these stories, you know, revolve around what all those roles mean and how people are constrained from them by them. You know, I've read now in a number of places at where men are in the audience, and they are just as engrossed as women are in the conversations that this book really raises. There's one story in particular I'm thinking about. It's called The Origins of Sacrifice, and it's about a couple that's just, you know, had a newborn. They were both working outside of the home until the baby came. Point of view of the mother who is now at home, and she feels so vulnerable and disempowered, like she hasn't been able to drive for months because she was sick ahead of time, and then she had a C-section. And so, you know, she's looking at her husband behind the wheel. And the power of just driving a car, you know, she's been neutered. She's all that's been taken away. At the same time, the husband is coming home. He's a little late. He kind of looks like he's lugging his briefcase like it's an anvil. And you don't know until the end of the story. He tells his wife that he didn't get a promotion. And so he's in a role, too, of trying to provide for the family. Like, this is new for both of them, and they're struggling against very prescribed roles that all of a sudden one day she is the nurturer, protector of the infant full-time, and he's the breadwinner, you know. And that's not the deal that they had before this moment, but that's where they are now. And they're both struggling with that. So, you know, they say this about racism and even slavery. Like, you can't enslave someone else without enslaving yourself. Like, if you're going to keep someone in slavery, then you have to behave a certain way that is going to damage your own psyche. And this is the same thing with gender roles. You can't keep women trapped in one subservient perspective without also enslaving men and trapping men into roles that they may not appreciate or want to carry around. And so that both sides are definitely explored by these stories.
Definitely. Wow. Definitely. I love how you're touching on so many topics that we don't talk about. We talk about so many other things, but we don't talk about the subjects of especially the role of women having and how we just stay quiet. I was reading one of them where we just stay quiet and we still suffer and sacrifice, even though, like, we have so many outlets for our voices to be heard, we still make that sacrifice and say, I'm not going to say anything now. We wait.
Right.
We hold our tongue. We, you know, and we just say, okay, this is because I am a mother. This is my job. I have to do this. But as a single mom for 20 years, I tell women they need that outlet. You need the outlet. You need to open up your mouth and say, I don't know what I'm doing.
Or why is this my job? You know, I mean, I totally agree with you that our silence is implicity in the structure, you know, it, because those stories aren't out there, the stories of how it really feels, the stories of what we go through, because this is how our society is. Those stories, with that, if they're not told, people don't get it. You know, I had a very good friend who was like maybe 35 one day when he said something like, "No, my mom loves to cook for me." And I looked at him, I'm like, "Really? Really? First of all, you're 35.
Wow.
Wow. And maybe his mother had never really said, "You know, I'm tired. Cook for yourself." Or "I would just like to see one day where you brought me a meal." Like, that's not ever uttered. It's just, this is your duty, you keep doing it. And so you don't get the response that we should be getting as a society because we don't speak up. You know, if we're playing along, then nothing's going to change.
Right. And I saw one of the comments where they said they wish they could give this book out to everybody. I think that this book will transcend throughout ages and ages where, because, I mean, even though people say we're in the 21st century, this is different, we're still doing, as women, we still do the same thing of staying silent and just doing our role. We're sticking with our role. Mm-hmm. Even though times have changed, now I'm not saying, you know, we're equal and, you know, we're breaking ceilings. Yes, we are, but we still, for that word mother, That's a powerful word, and I think in this book you definitely show the definition of that word, know the mother. And I like that it says know the mother. I love that does say that, because that's even more powerful, because it's not just a word. This is a person. This is somebody. But that word is so powerful. So I mean, this is just I'm gushing.
But I'm happy to hear that it resonates with you because of our age difference. You know, I mean, I do, you know, some people are like, "Who are you talking to?" And I said, I hope I'm talking to a broad range of people, of human beings that care about the human condition. It's not just for women, and it's not just for Black women. I mean, only a small portion of the stories deal with gender and race. Most of them, the race of the protagonist is not even discussed. It's just about how women walk through the world and more broadly. And two of the stories take place in Japan. So, you know, I do try to get it, you know, cross-cultural as much as I could push myself to do. You know, it has a broad resonance because you've either been a part of the story as the beneficiary of a mother's role, or as being the mother, or, you know, even your relationship with your friends, you know, are impacted by what other roles they have to carry in life. So I hate to be pigeonholed. I just hope that, look, there's 30 stories in there. I hope there's something in there for just about everybody, you know, pick one. And they're all really short. It's called Flash Fiction. So they're all...
It is.
Most of them are about 750 words or less, and some are even just a few paragraphs.
Definitely. I mean, that was what was so powerful, is that even though these were short stories, they still, like, carried, like, so much weight that really touched the soul. Like, wow, it was like, this was good. Like I had read a full novel, like, after one of them. I was like, this is good. Like, when I thought I was going to go get a snack, it felt like I had eaten a meal. That's what it felt like. It was like, wow.
Oh, that's good.
That was just awesome.
That's one of the things about Flash. Flash kind of assumes that the reader is going to bring their own novel, just like you said, to the story. So all I have to do is put you there in a situation and you will bring in the history, and then you will take the characters forward. And in so many of the readings, I've had many different interpretations of the same story, and I love that. I love hearing people say, really? I don't think she really left. I think she would have turned around and went back, or, you know, or whatever it is, you know. And then they point to the reasons that the story gives them to feel that way, and somebody could feel completely different based on those same words. And I love that. I really hope that the stories are part of a dialogue for people. It's a kind of a good book to read as a group or with other people
kind
that you know. Because you can.
It's an awesome book. It's an awesome book to read. Now, I do want to talk about the cover. I want to know, like, the cover is very unique. So you're going to have to tell us about this beautiful, like, artistic. I almost want to, like, have a poster of it. Like, it's just, I love
it. That's funny that you should say that, because it's actual art. It is not cover art. It's a work of art by this artist named Karin Miller, K-A-R-I-N Miller. And I know that people don't have the book in front of them, but if you go to DesCooper.com, you can, you know, find the book and get some information about, you know, other details. But it's really, it's an amazing cover. It's got like a 50s woman, you know, she looks like she's straight out 1950s, like very well put together, but her eyes are covered. And on the front, it's a black woman and white hands have covered her eyes. And on the back, it's a white woman and black hands are covering her eyes. And I was looking for art and I really wanted to support a black artist. So I Googled African American surrealist and it gave me this artist. And Sylvia, you're not going to believe this. This woman is a white South African. So the universe just fired to make that story bigger. And the image of the woman is a real person from South African history. Do you have any idea who it is? It's Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
That's a picture of Queen Elizabeth. So this artist takes famous people because they were colonized, you know, so the queen would be an iconic figure in South Africa. And she takes them and puts them in interesting situations that really question gender and race. And her work is astounding. And I just encourage anyone listening to go to her website, Google her name. It's Karin Miller, K-A-R-I-N Miller from South Africa. Her work is brilliant. So check it out. I am just so excited. We asked for permission to use her art and she gave it to us and I'm just thrilled.
That is awesome. I love it. It was, oh my gosh. Yeah, this is beautiful. Thank you for letting us know. It's like, I know a secret. It's like
I didn't even know that it was Queen Elizabeth when I fell in love with it. You know, I was thinking more about the 1950s look to it and how that is like the epitome of when womanhood was like had these constraints about, you know, being very well put together and you always have your purse and your gloves and all that stuff when you go out. And I just said, oh, this is perfect. This is saying it all to me. And especially with it being racially mixed, I said, this is perfect. And I had no idea what I was getting. I got a whole lot more than that by using that art.
Definitely. Wow, that is just amazing. I'm just like, now I'm staring at the cover, literally, like just staring, like, wow. Great. So let everybody know about we've got 60 seconds, so I want everybody to know about the upcoming Kalamazoo event and how they can find more information about you.
Way is to go to my website, DesCooper.com. The book is available, and that's DesCooper.com. The book is available at Wayne State University Press, and it is actually 20% off the month of May. So this is a good time to get a copy of the book and maybe yet in time for Mother's Day. Book Beat in Detroit has a signed copy, so you can go pick up your copy if you wanted to give it for Mother's Day. I will be reading in Kalamazoo the 22nd and 23rd of May. And the best way to find out about those events is to go to my Facebook page, to the author page, Desiree Cooper, the author page. And I have all my events there. You can also catch me in Detroit at Page's Bookstore. There is an event at the Hillberry this month. May is going to be a really, really, really big month for me. So if you want to, if you already have your book and you want me to sign it, bring it, you can find me on all those places. And the website also has a calendar, so you can look there.
Awesome. So I want to thank you for joining us today. Like I said, it's a huge honor, and just to be able to talk about mothering is my passion. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to be pushing this, like, just, oh my God, I got to interview. You guys got to hear this interview.
Well, thank you. I'll be doing the same. And I really appreciate all the work you do to keep writers inspired and connected and aspiring to do even better work. You just are so important to the literary community here.
Thank you. I'm not supposed to be crying. Thank you, Desiree. We're going to wrap it up. And like I said, everybody, please make sure you go to Des Cooper, DESCOOPER.com. Check out her website, connect to her socials, and, of course, get the book. It is discounted not only for you but for every wonderful person that you know, not just a woman but everybody. Just celebrate Mother's Day for everybody and give everybody a book, because everyone needs to see these words and share these stories because they are just powerful. So I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Desiree, and you have a great night.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
So we're going to see you guys next Saturday. Don't forget, we meet at the library at the Motown Writers Meetup this second Saturday with Kelly Green from 10 a.m. to 12. He'll be talking about blogging. That's the main Detroit library on Woodward Avenue. Don't forget, you can park in the employees' parking lot and walk around to the front or back of the library. And other upcoming events is Tanita is having the Red Ink Conference coming up in May, and you can look that up online, redinkconference.com. She'll be having special guests, Valerie Coleman and other Detroit writers and editors, to show how you can bring your book to life. So you guys have no to get out to these events to find out not only how to blog, but also how to write and find editors. At the end of the month, May 22nd, I'll be at the Parkman Branch to talk about social media for authors and readers and how we can better utilize social media to make money. Whether you're an author or a reader, you should be one or the other. So I should have a room full of people just there listening and learning about social media. You guys have been badgering me about doing workshops, so sign up at DetroitLiteraryNetwork.com. You can find out more about that event there. The event is free to the public, so you guys now have really no excuse. And I hope to see you guys at more May events. Check out our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Michigan's Literary World. And also check out our site at MotownWriters.com and subscribe for updates. And you guys have a great Wednesday. Stay warm, stay dry as Detroit gets a downpour. And we're going to have a great weekend. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. Bye-bye.